Today I want to begin by reviewing a little bit. I haven't been able to be up here in a while, and there were some things that I have said in the last four sermons I want to review a little bit before we move into our topic this morning, and that is service in the church. Each one of us needs to become ready for service in the church. And we, as we navigate this Christian life of ours, we got to know, first of all, we're in Christ, that we were lost, we were undeserving, and yet God poured out His grace upon us and saved our souls. And when we believed, all those sins that had piled up in our life, we were forgiven of. They were released. And once we were declared righteous by God, we got a new name. And the name is Son of God and Daughter of God. And not only that, we are now heirs of all of heaven's blessing. God has been so good to us. And the end result is that we are going to see Jesus. And when we see Him, we'll be like Him. I'm no longer going to say those dumb things that I say and those wrong things. And everything I do is going to be the right thing. And I'm going to be loving and kind all the time. I'm looking forward to that. But until then, we're designed to live in this world. And this world is crazy. We're designed to live in this world. And what does that look like? Do you realize that God calls us through His word strangers and aliens? And that only means that we have a home here and we tend to want to put roots down. That's a difficult thing because it just feels so right. And we wave a flag and we support causes, good things, and yet sometimes they compete with truly who we are and what we're supposed to do here on earth. Paul says it's a struggle because not only do we long for heaven and its perfection, but the wider I get around the muzzle, the more I realize that this body doesn't want to let me do the things that I want to do. You see, I have a new life in Christ, and God wants me to serve Him, and that's why Solomon tells us, serve God in your youth when you got teeth that stay in, and you got strong bones and strong muscles. You can serve Him when you're old, but serve Him when you're young. Put on that new person that's clothed in righteousness and using you and me to call sinners to repentance as ambassadors of God. You see, God says, I am using you to do what I could do, but I'm using you to do it because I love you, and it's good for you. And each of us is going to give an account to God. Do you realize how many Bibles that you have in your possession? As Matt said, if you got a phone, you got all kinds of Bibles. We're going to give an account as Americans that we had the ability to read the Word of God all the time. So we're ambassadors for Christ, and the blessing of this calling is that you've been given a gift. And Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be, so if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 4. The blessing of being called by God is that each believer has a gift that is not for you. It's not like you have the gift of mercy and you keep it in your pocket, and this gift of mercy, whenever someone needs it, I will allow my gift to be used. But each one of us has a gift for the benefit of the body. But the church family has gifts as well. And we're going to talk about that. And you're going to keep talking and talking about this. Yes, because we need to know. In this church, we celebrate baptism. We've seen a few people dunked in the last couple of months back there. What a blessing that was to hear testimonies. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I love God. I want everyone to know. What a blessing that was. As a church, that's one of the things we do. Another thing we're going to do next week is we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection because we're commanded to. That's what the church does. And you know what else the church does? The church comes together to encourage one another. Have you encouraged anyone today to say, I've been praying for you. I love you. We're also here to forgive one another because every single one of you is not perfect yet. And so you say the wrong thing like I do. You do the wrong thing and we have to forgive one another. Not to hold grudges, forgive. We need to love as Jesus loved. We need to get together and learn the doctrine of the apostles. That's what the church does. And we need to find out what's going on in each other's lives, and we need to pray for each other. This is just the introduction, by the way. Our job as ambassadors is to tell the good news to other people, to place ourselves under the authority of a local church, namely the elders and the pastors. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about the unity of the church and how important unity is. Jesus talked about unity a lot and how it was close to his heart when his people were unified. He talks about diversity in the church and how each of us were different. Can you imagine what it was like in the early church when there were Jews and Gentiles coming together? People that generally hated the other culture, and yet God says, I want you to be unified. And he gave these people gifts to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and encourage each other. But now in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, he switches a little bit and he says, there are gifts that are given to the church and they are your pastors and your elders. They are gifts to you, your leaders, your examples. Now, I don't know if you've thought about this recently, but our pastor, Pastor Dave, Pastor Joe, along with Walt and Bill and Jack, these men are here to serve you. And they do a fantastic job. They live in such a way as to be great examples. For example, I am looking out here and I'm looking at some people I think that are probably, you got some good husbands out there. And you're loving your wives as Christ loved the church. And I'm going to guess, though, in a group like this, there's some husbands that need some work. And you know what? These elders are perfect people to talk to about that. And you want to be a good father? You've got people here, elders, who know how to be a good father, who've lived it. They can be trusted. How to be a good friend? Your elders are good friends. They have great help and wisdom with relationships. These are your gifts by God to the church. You can call on their expertise and their giftedness. Wasn't that a great introduction? All right, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read that passage of Scripture. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. And so let's pray together. Our Father, what a great passage this is, and I pray that as we are challenged and we are encouraged, that your Holy Spirit would put his finger right where it needs to be. Help us to understand how important it is as a church to be equipped to do the work of ministry. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said before, the church, and this is point number one, has been given a present. You have been given a gift. In this church, we've been given lots of gifts. Our elders, our pastors, And we are to help you put some tools in your tool belt, if you will. So we're blessed at Willow Hill. We've got elders that love you, that love each other, that love Jesus. They are gifts from God. Pastor Dave is such a gift. He prepares messages. I have to bang on his door during the week, and he is hard at work preparing messages, talking to people, encouraging people. And his desire is that you know more about Jesus Christ. His goal is to challenge you. And I hope that over the past couple of months in the book of James, you were challenged. Sometimes I walked out thinking, oh, I don't feel really good right now. But I'm telling you, it was good to ruminate, to think about as I walked out. His messages to us convict us of sin because he's preaching the word of God and it shows us where we fall short. I want to tell you the reason that God says leaders and teachers will be judged more harshly is because there is such a temptation for us to preach this way and live this way. There's a temptation to not be true to what we preach. Not all the time, but sometimes. A pastor must practice what he preaches, and think about how many eyes and ears are on that family right there, and that he's not over there right now. But, and rightfully so. Pastor Dave and Amy take this so seriously. They want to glorify God in their life. They desire to be an example, not only to you, but to their own children. So Pastor Dave and the elders are such gifts, and we ought to be grateful and thankful for them. And amazingly, next month is a month of thanksgiving and gratitude. So make sure that if you're thankful and grateful, let somebody know about that. First, our pastor feeds himself. A pastor has to understand how to feed himself and not just learn to teach. He needs to do what you're doing, to read the word and allow God to work in his heart. And Pastor Dave, or whoever's going to be speaking next week for the communion service, I want to let you know, they already have prepared their heart before they get up here. Now, they're going to present to you. You need to prepare your hearts right now because we're going to partake. And remember, the pastor and the elder has already done that before they get up here. He checks his life and his heart. And his heart is in Psalm 139, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Our pastor does this on a regular basis, on a daily basis, asking God, "Show me where I'm failing, because I'm not perfect." Pastor Dave does this. He is a gift. And then he can help others. You see, if he's prepared himself, now he can help you. And his desire is for you to learn to do this on a daily basis, to not only know how to feed yourself, but know how to feed others. That's our goal. Our goal is that we have a bunch of people that are able to not only feed themselves, but bring someone else alongside them and feed them. It's called discipleship. Second, a pastor trains the ones that desire to be trained. We can't miraculously train people who don't want to be trained. A pastor trains those that desire to be trained. And so a question I have for you, and I'm going to ask you at the end too. Do you desire to learn? Or are you just satisfied with where you are now? Everything's going okay. Don't rock the boat. Do you make every effort to come under the teaching of the Bible? That's a tremendous responsibility that you have, especially if you have children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews or friends. Pretty much everybody, I guess. God does not want you standing still. And I'm reminded from one of my past sermons, 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 10, talk about the fact that God wants you to add to your faith. Add to your faith. Supplement is the word that's used there. Oh, that we at Willow Hill would embrace this, to continue to grow. And in that passage it says, you're to do that so you aren't ineffective and unfruitful. Who wants to be those two things? And the way that you can be neither of those things is if you study the word in order to share with others. Third, our pastor prays and teaches those that are willing to be taught the importance and preeminence of prayer. Listen to Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, I've got so much work to do today, I'd better spend more time in prayer. It's powerful because God is powerful. Amen. Is God powerful? He is a God who hears our prayers and can do anything he wants to. I've heard it said a short prayer is much better than a clever strategy. Now, as the church feeds on the word and the church begins to see the need of the coming alongside of others, the word of God being most important, of utmost importance, church prays for God to work in the church. The church is ready now to be equipped. So the gifts that God gives are pastors and elders, and they want to equip you. And how do you get equipped? You got to show up, for one thing. Our job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, verse 12, for the building of the body, so that you are mature in Christ. So what does this look like? Well, it looks like 100% of the church doing 100% of the work. I want you to think about that. 100% of the church doing 100% of the work. My dad used to say, many hands make light work. And yesterday was a good example of that. Each person in the congregation should be praying and be moved by the Holy Spirit. God, where do you want me to serve your people? Here at Willow Hill, we have so many places for any age group to serve. Let's start out. I'm going to go through a list of people, and I hope that you'll just bear with me. What does this service look like? Well, first of all, our elders. Do you know they're busy during the week? There's rarely a day that I'm here that there aren't elders doing something around here. Putting up TVs, checking the wiring, painting, fixing things. There are other elders that make sure that ministry stays ministry. There are others that are making sure that we're spending our money correctly and all of us get together and we pray to be moved in that direction. The members and attenders should understand there are opportunities to pray here. There are opportunities to learn here. There's opportunities to serve here. In our church, thank the Lord, we are so interested in our young people learning to serve. We've invested time and money into this. You can't see what's going on over there in the children's wing. I think about Jason and the crew. I appreciate them. And there are some people who are in here there. Your turn is not today. But man, what a blessing they are to us. They're not just babysitters, although holding a little baby, that's important. They're doing puppets back there, teaching a lesson of how Jesus loves them, teaching how they can be more like Jesus. That's super. But you know, the children's ministry also allows moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles to be in hearing the word of God, either in ABF, Sunday school, or here. You know, I think about Crystal and Ray. I think about their service. What an important thing that they're doing. And I love it because sometimes they'll say something and then one of them will ask a question back. They talk back and forth. It's allowed. But they've had a class to teach American Sign Language, and some of you have taken a part of that to better encourage and communicate with people who cannot hear the way that you do. I think about our music ministry. What a blessing that is. Thank you, Matt. Our youth ministry, Pastor Joe and the team, they do a tremendous job. It's an important ministry. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Parents, grandparents, your children can hear your voice, and many times they hear it loud and clear. Sharon and I, we raised 3 children, and believe it or not, there were times where they needed to hear another voice. It's not that Sharon and I weren't good enough. We weren't around. But they needed to hear another voice saying the same kinds of things we would say, to be able to hear difficult things that maybe mom and dad aren't interested in hearing at the time. And my children were able to speak to safe people that believed what our church believes about God and about the Word of God. Do your children regularly have that opportunity to hear other voices that say the same thing? You see, there's a lot of people that spend a lot of time on traveling teams or baseball or football or whatever. And I'm not throwing rocks at you right now. Well, little. But the question is, does the coach speak your language? Does the team speak your language? Do they believe what you believe? Because those are voices that your children hear. So thank the Lord for Joe, Pastor Joe, and our ministry. Last summer, we had 3 of 4 interns that were homegrown. That is amazing. It doesn't happen, except here. Our women's ministry, Bible studies, fellowship. Patty, thanks so much for the time that you spend encouraging the ladies to walk with Jesus. Our men's ministry, Dave, thanks for that prayer breakfast. If you have not, if you're a man, you haven't come to prayer breakfast, the food is really good. And always a good challenge. We have activities to attend, but they're not just for activity's sake. Ways to encourage. And I want to encourage you to think about becoming more involved in those things. Check the weekly prayer announcement sheet. If you're not on the email sheet, then you're not hearing from Patty. Now, there's many other things. If you say, hey, Pastor Rob, you didn't mention my ministry or me. Okay, sorry. Let me know, and the next time, I will make sure that you're on the list there. And I don't mean that tongue-in-cheek. I really mean it. Please see one of the elders about where you can be plugged in to serve. Because our church's job is for you to receive training so that you can minister on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, this is going to hurt. You ready? Really, are you ready? If you're sitting there saying, well, I am just too busy. Some of you were thinking that, I think. I'm just too busy. My schedule is packed. Guess what? There's an answer. In our discipleship class, we talked about Charles Hummel wrote a little packet that was called The Tyranny of the Urgent. There are so many things that scream for your attention, and they take those things, take away the important things. It speaks directly to how you can unbusy your schedule. Take out the urgent things. And make sure you're doing the important things. I'll tell you in a minute what are important things. I know you're dying to know. So if your life is too busy, that means your life is too busy. You need to cut some things out. Do you realize that our God has established the church, this body, to be priority over all other human institutions? Do you know that? This church body, your fellow members, have priority. It should trump every other institution except for your wife, husband, children. And so these pastors, these elders are given so the church is equipped to the work of service. I remember August 6th, I wrote it down. Pastor Dave said that it's not the hired guns, you remember that, that do the work. It's the body that does the work in the church. That's you. Because you have gifts we don't have. God wants to use you as well as me. So how do you do that? You place yourself under the teaching of Scripture, because that reminds us of how selfish we are. Do you ever do your devotions and you're reading and you're thinking, man, I'm really selfish. And God's just saying, you need to redirect. You're thinking about yourself all the time. And so under the Scripture, it gives you opportunity to not only look at yourself and be convicted of your own sin, but also makes you encourage and forgive others. Helps you become a mature believer. By serving, you become not only mature in your faith, but you can really learn and appreciate who Jesus is. And you can help in the unity of the body of believers here at Willow Hill. Your care, your attendance, your skin in the game causes a spirit of unity here and increases our ability I've always said the best ability is availability. Oh, that our church would be on this. And so Paul ends with the product. Okay, so you got your gifts, the elders and the pastors and the teachers, and you have them equipping people to do the work of ministry. And what happens when we have a body of believers that are equipped? They have tools in their tool belt, and they use them. It says here in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. You're not going to be tricked. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up every way in Him who is the head, Christ. And it leads us to be mature in the faith. You're going to be mature in Christ as you are equipped to do the work of ministry. You know, there's some little kids in the back, right, I'm sure, and sometimes they have smelly pants. And someone's always happy to change them. Oh, let me change them. Not me, but someone's back there. But is it interesting that there's a certain point in a child's life where you start saying, you know what, you need to be potty trained. If that baby doesn't grow, not just physically, but with skills, we start to get concerned, don't we? And the same in the church. There have been people who've known Jesus for 40 years. They're still in spiritual diapers. We get very concerned about that. So in the church, each of us needs to be progressing on our journey with Jesus Christ to become more like Jesus, to become fruitful as a believer, to be equipped, to be trained. Now, as you become a fruitful believer, you put your hand to the plow, trusting in Jesus, you're not tricked by the world's philosophy. That's the benefit of being equipped and growing in the Lord. You've seen so many Christian people who are tricked, people who call themselves Christ's people. But you, if you're equipped, you're not going to be constantly up and down, allowing how you feel to trump what you know and believe. God wants you to be that way. That's why He wrote this passage for us. It's one of the great reasons we place ourselves under the authority of the local church, because we can help each other. So, application. Will you consider serving somewhere? Will you consider being trained? Will you consider your schedule and jettison those things that are not important, but they're urgent? If you need help understanding which is which, let's sit down and we'll talk a little bit about that. Will you consider whether you have embraced your God-given responsibilities as His ambassador? Will you consider whether you're maturing in the faith? Won't you pray with me? Our Father, You are great and awesome. You are. I thank You so much for Pastor Dave and Pastor Joe and the elders. Thank You. You have given us such blessings. And I thank You for Your program that You want these elders who live their life in front of everybody, not perfectly, but with skill. Pray that people in our church would just appreciate them and ask them for advice and help and follow it. I pray that people would come and learn how to pray. They would learn how to feed themselves so that they could feed other people. Help us to be a grateful people. Help us to be people who constantly want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only because it's good for us, it's good for the church body. And we thank You and praise You in the name of Jesus, who lives forever and ever. Amen.